We're all in a story. It's just a video game.
On that note, we're lost.
Shitty, shitty video game.
At yeah, best. It's just a video game.
All stories have a low point, David. Yeah. It's fine.
The low point. That's like the entire game so far.
That's been this. That's been the arc for like the last 10 goddamn years, Andy.
Yeah,
or more like 10,000. But yeah, it's the Dark Ages.
Yeah, the I'm thinking smaller. I'm just thinking smaller on this one. Yeah, but yeah. So
you know me.
No. Welcome back to the High Kind. It's me, Huntley. I'm with Andy and David tonight. How are you two doing?
Grand. Oh yeah,
I'm doing good. I don't know about grand.
Well, you should try harder.
I don't like the sound of grand. I don't know.
Grand.
When I think about it.
I think of biscuits.
You think of biscuits when you think of grand.
Grands. Yeah.
Grand biscuits.
Grand's biscuits. Yeah.
Oh.
Like. Fluffy and delicious.
I always got the Pillsbury ones.
Well, they have Grand.
They have those. In
Pillsbury Grand
biscuits. It's the size.
Yeah, it's the size.
It's the size. Oh, I thought it was a brand.
Yeah. No, it's the size.
And then you got Cathead biscuits, which are even fucking bigger. They're like literally the size of cat's head, given the name, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Cathead biscuits.
There you go, David.
That sounds
Cathead biscuits
awesome.
Is a little much for me.
It's a lot.
It's too much, especially.
Little biscuit education for you there, David.
Yeah.
Family biscuit.
This is important. You need to know about this.
Yeah, you need to know about biscuit sizes. So
what are we talking about?
Well, I'm gonna open up with asking what everybody's favorite vampire movie is.
Oh, good. That's gonna be a hard one.
You can name a couple, I don't care.
Underworld is kinda I don't know. I liked it back then, but I rewatched it. It's like super.
It did not age well.
Blade is always
the first one.
Fucking Blade.
The first one.
Blade 1 and 2 aren't bad. 3 is terrible.
Yeah, 3 is terrible.
But 1 is still the best one out of the Blade series.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I honestly do like Interview with the Vampire.
Mm-hmm.
The simple fact of the matter that, like, I'm not a big fan of what's his face?
Tom Cruise,
yeah, but that is one of the Lestat. He played in an excellent Lestat.
Yeah, he did.
He really did.
It was an overall good movie.
It was a good movie. I'm trying to think Bram Stoker's Dracula with Keanu Reeves and Gary Oldman playing Dracula. Mm-hmm. That was an excellent
one. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. You basically named mine, and The Lost Boys just for cheese.
Oh yeah. You cannot forget The Lost Boys.
Yeah, Lost Boys, and just like been around all those places that they were.
Yes.
Yeah, and so it's kind of fun to watch that movie and be like, oh shit, I know that place.
Yeah.
It still looks the goddamn same.
It literally looks the same.
Looks the fucking same.
Trying to think of any other good ones. No, nothing really comes to mind. I mean, obviously I'm not going to mention the Twilight series, so vampires just don't fucking glitter. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know I just alienated a large percentage of what was left of our audience.
Listen. Like, Twilight sucks, but I gotta give props to Rob Pattinson. He's such a fucking good actor.
I have not seen him in anything else.
Have you? What?
No, I didn't watch The Lighthouse yet.
The Lighthouse is fucking phenomenal.
What do you think? Is he going to be a good Batman?
I think he is. I think he is going to pull a Heath Ledger when everybody bitched about Heath Ledger being the Joker and fucking shocked everybody.
Pull it out. Yeah.
Because
I hope so.
Between The Lighthouse, Tenet, by the way, the new Chris Nolan movie, he's good in it.
Oh, Chris Nolan.
Yeah, Metropolis with when he was directed by David Cronenberg. That was a fucking good movie. Rob Pattinson's been fucking keeping it like real since the Twilight series. He did a couple of those fluff movies afterwards, but he's been on fire for a while, and I think he's going to shock the world with Batman.
Oh, cool. Well, I look forward to it.
Now, while I'm busy simping for Rob Pattinson, let's talk about vampires. But when you think of,
to see like a poster in the background of Rob Patterson next episode,
I like him. I like him a lot. Send me one, please. Do
I'll put glitter on it?
Yeah, send me one.
It'd be homemade.
Send me one. I enjoy him. I enjoy him a lot these days. But when you think of vampires, you have a couple of options. You have the typical Gary Oldman, Count Dracula, nobility, castles, and just like kind of doom and gloom, can transform into a bat, wolf, rats, whatever. And then the other one I think of is like the people dancing to techno in the opening of Blade. Dun, yes. Dun, dun, dun,
that
dun,
one.
Dun. And, you know.
And a mixture of the two is like Vampire the Masquerade.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. That's true. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. But, and then you have the newest actor to play Batman, who I've been simping for, Rob Pattinson in Twilight, Sparkling in Sunlight. That's a terrible movie. I hate the Twilight series, but I like Pattinson. One more plug.
One more. Is he paying you?
He should be.
Sponsorship deal, you're not telling us about?
He fucking should be. Because.
Okay.
I'm gonna.
Special guest.
No, if we could book Rob Pattinson, I would. we'd be made.
He's like a listener.
Yeah, he's a listener. That would be. I don't know how I'd feel about that. don't meet your heroes, people.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the last thing you really think about is. Real life vampires, or you know, people LARPing, pretending to be vampires, dressed in black or in trench coats or aristocratic clothing, or a person asking you if he can cut you so he can drink your blood voluntarily. You're volunteering your blood to him.
Okay, at least it's
the new vampires.
Yeah, the new vampires.
Consent.
Yeah, consensual blood drinking. Yeah. Now, I'm going to start off with a personal story. back in the day, I used to live next to a very popular park in the city. And it was around an older school that was kind of like a gothic architecture. And on Sunday mornings, when I would usually be either waking up from a hangover or smoking my first joint of the day, I could hear the sound of roaring battles from a nearby park that I could literally look out my window and see. And you would see the sight of wizards and knights charging at each other with foam swords while I'm sipping my coffee and they're hitting each other. It was fucking fantastic. That was the best part of living there. The house sucked, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
The house
might be worth it just for that.
Yeah. Until the floor was starting to fall in. But
okay. That's kind of bad. Yeah.
Yeah. They aren't what I'm talking about, though, because they took over the park in the morning, but at nighttime.
Oh, no. Was it the same people?
No, they were usually. Oh, God, there might have been some overlap. I didn't study it or analyze it enough to figure this out. There's quite possibly some overlap here. But at night, you would see people dressed in like black trench coats or aristocratic clothing made of leather, like a weird hybrid, steampunk looking people, cyberpunk looking people, all like wandering around the park because that was where they would first meet up. And they basically, during the day, it was helms and swords, and at night they traded that in for pale foundation and black clothing to live out their roles as vampires. And I talked to a couple of them because I had to park on the street back in the day, and they would park on the street. And
how could you not?
I could, yeah. And they were all like, at first, because I didn't know what the fuck they were doing, I was just like, why are all these goth kids fucking meeting at this park? I was just like, are you guys getting ready to go to a show? And they're like, no, we're playing a game. And I was like, what kind of game? And they told me that they basically were doing live action role play. And I was just like, you don't look like the people with screaming lightning bolt and throwing Nerf balls at each other, but go on. And they basically told me that they were, you know, role playing vampires.
Yeah.
And they were all really polite to me. Some of them were awkward because, I mean, you know,
the territory.
Yeah. It kind of comes with the territory, and you have my ass who just will go up to anybody and just be like, hey, man, what are you doing?
Why are you doing this?
Why are you doing this? Aren't you hot?
Interrogate them on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like, it is 90 degrees at 8 o'clock at night and you're wearing a leather trench coat. You gotta be hot. Are you staying hydrated, dude?
You're too direct. You need to be more of an anthropologist and try to like input yourself into it. Wear clothing that looks
That looks like them. Yeah.
See if they just don't notice you and you can just observe them.
Yeah. Yeah. Just watch them. Just nah, man. I'm as subtle as a brick. I'm just like, what are you doing, man? But yeah, they were all pleasantly nice to me. The awkwardly nice, probably. They're just like, why is this weirdo walk into his car that reeks of like all sorts of shit? Weird. Yeah, I'm the weirdo in this case. Just wandering around, I accidentally hit a children at play sign one time on that street. So I wonder if they saw me do that, but nobody ever did. And statute of limitations is gone. So fuck off.
Always. It's always gone.
Yeah. I don't mention these things until it's gone. Let's basically just kick it off. The vampire lifestyle, and this comes from vampires.com. Yes, there's a site called vampires.com that's strangely informative.
That's official.
But
is that like an Angel Fire page? Like
it's I thought it would be like an Angel Fire page. GeoCities. Or GeoCities. Yeah. But the vampire lifestyle or subculture has existed for many years, and although it's been growing over the last few decades, many believe that the lifestyle has grown and stemmed out from the goth subculture while still retaining elements and mannerisms of those participating in that lifestyle. The two types of vampires in the subculture are psychic vampires or energy vampires and Sanaquarian vampires. Sanaquarian derives from a Latin term that means bloodthirsty. So Sanaquarians feed on small doses of human blood. They believe that they need the blood in order to sustain their health. In the Sanaquarian division of the vampire lifestyle, there are donors, vampires, and those who practice auto-vampirism. And auto-vampirism is drinking one's own blood. That just doesn't seem like a good idea.
And also not nutritious. Like, if this is a required thing, like,
yeah,
you know, drinking
your own blood. You're not going to drink your own blood.
Yeah, you're not going to drink your own blood.
It doesn't make sense to do that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's very ineffective.
I agree. But this is an article from The Atlantic. On this occasion, he produces a small rectangular box. Opening it, he reveals a new ceremonial knife, one that will be used to make a small incision in my arm. At his own insistence, he won't do the cutting himself due to a physical disability that impedes his dexterity. So we're waiting for his wife to get home from work and take care of it. Once the cut is made, she'll step back and he'll come forward to feed on my blood.
Hmm.
Sounds fun.
I keep thinking, though, every time when you mention the energy vampires, I can't get it out of my head, that show you told me about, What We Do in the Shadows. That fucking guy is in my head right now.
Carl.
It's so good.
Oh, that show's so fucking fantastic.
I love that character.
Oh, he's Jess's favorite character, too. She's like,
just talks to people.
Carl. Yeah, he just talks to people, and they're just like, oh, God.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, today, there's a worldwide community of human vampires, or real vampires, in quotes, as scholars typically call them. Why would a scholar say a real vampire? What scholars are they talking to?
I like how there's vampire scholars.
What scholars are we talking about?
I'm going to have to dig a little more into this.
Yeah, name some names here.
Your qualifications. What school did you go to? You did not. Did you go to the Vampire Masquerade College in your best friend's basement? Because that's not scholarly research.
Maybe they like hung out at the goth clubs every weekend.
Shit.
That was their research.
Fucking, yeah, that was their research. Oh. In fact, Real vampires are not undead nor immortal, nor can they be weakened by garlic or vanquished by silver. In fact, they're biologically typical and almost always, except how do they part of their nourishment from human and animal blood. Vampires of this type call them Sanaquarians, or by draining psychic energy, psychic vampires, or both, hybrids. For its participants, real vampirism isn't a fad to be adopted one day and discarded the next. Those who treat it as such are dismissed as mere lifestylers by the community. Jesus Christ, there's a fucking hierarchy here.
Oh, it's tribalism, man. It doesn't matter what community you're talking about. Those wizards probably had one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, most likely.
They're like, you fucking weekend warrior, piece of fucking shit. I live this. I actually worked with one of those LARPers for a brief period. He got fired fairly quickly because he was kind of a douchebag. But he was talking to me one day. He was just like, yeah, I can take a beating. I was like, dude, you get hit with foam swords.
Hmm.
I was like, no offense, but until you get punched in the face with a fist, I'm not really going to take you seriously. And he was like, no, people can hit people pretty hard. I was like, they're foam swords. There's a big fucking difference.
I'm not going to lie. There's part of me, though, that would probably find LARPing really fun.
I'm sure it's fun.
Mm-hmm. It depends on the game and, like which one it is. It'd have to be something reasonable that I don't have
to be honest with. I'd be honest with you. If I had to pick the wizards or the vampires, I'd probably kick it with the vampires. There's also a werewolf one too. I would join up with the werewolf one. Mind. Yeah, the werewolf one. I'd be totally all about that. Yep. Be like, fuck yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, it's Werewolf the Apocalypse, right?
Yeah, it is. I think it's made by the same people that made the Vampire the Masquerade game.
And I love those worlds, like the stories and the clans and all the mythology of it all. I love that.
Yeah, it's great lore.
I don't know if I can dress up and I don't know that one. I don't know
if I had to do one or the other, the werewolves.
Yeah, most likely.
And if I had
what's the wizard one called? It's like wizard something.
I don't know.
But yeah,
I don't know what the wizard one is called.
What? Hold on, I'm gonna
look them up.
I gotta know.
While you're doing that,
was it White Wolf?
Okay. I don't know.
I think it's White Wolf, or that might be like a different.
It was White Wolf.
Vampire thing.
Yeah, I think it is White Wolf.
It was.
Yeah, there's another one too, but they feed out of what they are convinced is the biological need, one that generally appears during or just after puberty. Without their monthly or weekly or sometimes daily feeding rituals, vampires claim it's difficult for them to function. If they go too long without blood or energy, they can become weak, developing a host of physical and emotional symptoms that only a feeding can soothe.
Hmm.
I don't know.
So I guess puberty. Interesting. That was like one of the questions I was thinking like the whole time. Was like, when does this happen? Like, when do you decide that you need blood to survive?
Puberty.
Yeah.
Those like advanced goth kids, I guess. I don't know.
I wonder if there hasn't been any actual serious studies, like psychological studies or anthropological studies of that, of the community or members, or like,
I'm sure like somebody's done it, but it probably didn't get posted in like a scholarly.
No, probably not. Oh, it's Mage the Ascension, by the way.
Ah, Mage the Ascension. This person that's from the Atlantic seems like he did do some scholarly study. In the 2 years I spent studying vampires in New Orleans for my dissertation, I found that apart from their need for blood or psychic equivalent, there were more genuine difference among them than commonalities. The people I met were equally men and women ranging from 18 to 50. They were self-described atheists, monotheists, and polytheists, and they were single, married, and divorced, and their sexual orientations were diverse. The only thing that truly united them was the obvious exception to their otherwise normal existence, the impulse to take in blood or energy. This is from Huffington Post, and I wanted to know how people felt about others drinking blood, even in their own community. Some people frown upon the drinking of blood, even in their own community. Sanaquarians are often considered taboo, even within parts of the vampire community, due to nature of the subject and the fact that drinking blood is highly risky, as it is nearly impossible to safely avoid contracting blood-borne diseases such as HIV, hepatitis, and syphilis. Also, drawing blood from one's own body or anybody else's body usually requires a licensed medical professional, such as a nurse or doctor. And numerous studies have been done on Sanaquarians by psychologists and researchers, yet there's no solid psychological or scientific evidence to validate the need of these people. And And Sanaquarians often attract attention from sensationalists and media, especially around Halloween, because they are what most of the mundane world thinks of when they think of a person living the vampire lifestyle. Most practicing Sanaquarians go to great lengths to find consensual donors and educate themselves on safety techniques such as getting their blood tested and limiting blood exchange partners to a monogamous relationship. You can find dozens of Sanaquarian resource websites and support groups online, and I did at least look this up. There's a fuck ton of them. I was like, damn. Huh. I don't know.
Blood banks.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, do like the blade thing where they had blood banks. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So the Sanaquarians are taboo, which basically means it's mainly just a bunch of energy vampires hanging around each other, boring each other.
Oh, God. That sounds awful. That sounds awful, actually. No. Just them talking to one another, telling you the most mundane fucking things of their existence, like Carl from What They Do in the Shadows. I fucking love that show. I'm glad you finally got around to watching it, though.
Yes. <it's>
so I was just like, Andy would fucking love this show if he would just sit down for a minute and watch it.
It's the commercials I have trouble getting through, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It's a good show.
What is it on?
It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. See, I
just need to get Hulu. Fuck.
Yeah, I get Hulu. I go the extra mile and I pay for the ad-free Hulu, and it made my experience so much better. Mm-hmm. I'm going through that with CBS All Access.
Advertisements.
I hate them too. I have CBS All Access because I wanted to watch the new Twilight Zone and the new Star Treks, and the ads just drive me fucking crazy. I don't think I'm going to keep it.
And there's no way to turn them off, or
you can pay more, and I'm just like, I already pay for Hulu.
Yeah.
And Hulu and HBO Max are usually my big ones, and then of course I have Netflix and Prime.
Oh my God, it's the Black fucking Mirror episode where they have to pay to skip advertisements, otherwise they're forced.
The cycling episode.
Fuck.
Yep. Welcome.
That's a
show. Is a documentary, David.
It really is
a documentary from the fucking from the not so distant future.
Yeah,
Black Mirror is another fucking fantastic show.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Fucks with you though.
Yeah, it does. Now
it does. It really does.
We're gonna close out with some true crime, and unfortunately, you know, while the Sanaquarians seem mostly harmless outside of just risky behavior in my opinion, and the LARPers are completely harmless in my opinion, some of times it does go a little bit dark, and that would be Rod Farrell from Kentucky. And he was a teenager that became obsessed with the RPG that the LARPers were talking about earlier, Vampire the Masquerade. And I just want to note on this that I do not think the LARPers are murderers. I think that Rod is the exception to the community, and most of them seem rather passive, because I hate when one just dumbass person does something and suddenly the entire community, who were just sincerely just trying to have a fucking good time and play a fucking role-playing game, get labeled as deviants
or Satanists or something. Yeah. Or crazy Satanists shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, that's just not the case. So you vampire LARPers, we good.
We Gucci.
Yeah, we good. Roderick Justin Farrell, or Rod Farrell, was the birth name of a cult leader, but he also went by another name to his friends and fellow cult members, Fasago. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. If not, eh. But what Rob Fasago, V-E-S-A-G-O.
It sounds like some Fasago brand of like, yeah, of sounds, like tomato like, sauce or something.
Yeah, that would I was about to say, me and you, same wavelengths tonight. I was like, pasta sauce. Sounds like fucking pasta sauce.
It does. Like ragu quality or something.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. When I was reading that, I was like, man, this sounds like fucking discount, like fucking tomato sauce, like store. the dollar store brand. The one that's on the very fucking bottom shelf. Like, they're like, you can't afford Brego, but you can get Fasago.
Fasago.
and it just like it tastes like dog food.
Yeah.
But Rod was a loner and an outcast who genuinely believed himself to be a demon and a vampire. He would be expelled from his high school in ninth grade and was using both marijuana and LSD by the time he was 14 years old. And cocaine and heroin would be Rod's next step. Yeah, once again, just young. Because they're doing LSD and marijuana does not mean they're going to fucking kill people.
No, but if he already had underlying
mental illness and problems, yeah, that's going to the hallucinogens will exacerbate that. I will concede that point.
Did it say anything about his family or like his childhood? Was like trauma or anything?
His mother was arrested not too long after he was arrested for like soliciting sexual acts with people, and she seemed like a. Let's just put it this way: she did not seem like a real winner.
Okay.
I have a little small bit about that, but
okay,
almost like he was possessed by a demon. Rod Klain would fly into absolute rages when he would inject cocaine and heroin simultaneously. So he's fucking doing eight balls. That's fucking hardcore already. For, like being a teenager and doing fucking eight balls. And he would break furnitures in a fit of rage. Emotional problems compounded by drug problems made him an emotional wreck. Introspective, deep, and thoughtful one minute, and a furious problem child the next. Completely enraged for seemingly no reason. But where did these personal demons come from? It seems to be a family thing. In 1997, the year after the murders took place, Farrell's mother was tried for writing lewd, sexually charged letters to a 14-year-old boy.
Whoa.
Oh.
When she was a 34-year-old herself, the prosecutor argued that the two misdemeanor charges should be upgraded to a felony, and you can see eerily similarities to Rod in the way she writes, with the highly dramatized, romantic, creepy tone. One of the letters she wrote to the boy reads, "I longed to be near you. For your embrace, yes, to become a vampire, a part of the family, immortal and truly yours forever. I hope that one day you'll return to Murray and you can come for me and cross me over, and I will be your bride for eternity and you my sire."
Wow, so she was in, the mom was into all the vampire
mythology. It seems like that. And a pedo on top of that.
Whoa. Yikes. Okay, so who the hell knows what was that? How that hell was like?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Now it's safe to say that this nightmarish tale may be a tragic case of a boy just doing what his mother taught him. On top of going by the name Fasago, by the time he was 15-year-old, Rod believed that he was actually a 500-year-old vampire and had special powers. Some have speculated that the entire cult and even the murders were nothing more than a role-playing game gone horribly wrong. I don't think that's a role-playing a game. I think that's just people throwing people under the bus and just trying to find an explanation. Like, instead of saying, let's blame the role-playing game, how about you blame the pedo mother?
Mm-hmm.
Who tried to solicit a 14-year-old boy and referred to him as sire.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. Don't blame the fucking role-playing game shit. Once again, that's just people trying to have fucking fun.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, his home life must have been pretty horrible.
I mean, yeah.
Does it say anything about men? Like,
I didn't read a lot of men or such things as his father, so I'm going to assume a very absent father, if not around at all.
Gotcha. Right.
Now, recalling the experience, Rod said, I tried to embrace the lifestyle of being a vampire and being so young. My mind latched onto it so deeply, so tenaciously, that I got lost inside of it. One night, Farrell's mother came home to find Rod and his then girlfriend on the floor drinking each other's blood. So that seems to be where it started off. I really feel like he was just trying to find an escape. Do I think maybe he had some kind of sociopathic tendencies and he was kind of fucked up? Yeah, quite possibly, but he also had seemed to have trauma. And when you live in a traumatic household like that and you find something to latch onto, that you get to become something outside of yourself, yeah, that seems pretty goddamn appealing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, even if it's total delusion, that's the part of the escape, right?
Yeah that's part of the escape. By no means am I condoning any of his actions, but...
Yeah, but it's possible reason.
Yeah, I find it more sympathetic than some of the other people I've talked about on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this is... they had like a little headquarters that they called the Vampire Hotel, and I'm just going to describe it a little bit. But it is an abandoned structure near Kentucky Lake. In the land between the lakes, the stone and concrete structure was partially torn down in the 1960s with the creation of LBL. But part of it remained. It was one of just a handful remaining structures in LBL, not completely removed. Throughout the 90s, it had become a popular hangout spot with locals, some who were less reputable than others. The structure itself was a single-story home that belonged to Dorothy B. Keith. And the Stoner Frame House was built sometime after the Kentucky Lake post-1945 and was used as a vacation home. The home was fairly luxurious for its time. It featured a walkout basement into a stone arch-shaped patio. In the middle of the patio was a cistern, which is still visible today. Bathrooms and staircases flanked the building from the first level, which contained a large chimney. So basically, it was a nice fucking little house back in the day, but it kind of got abandoned.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so was this in the middle of the lake, or was there like a piece of land connecting?
Okay. From what I'm understanding.
Okay.
But these Rod and his teenage friends basically kind of took it over and turned it into their clubhouse.
Gotcha.
And
I was just imagining fucking vampires like boating out to the house every night just to hang out.
Yeah.
Have like fucking canoes in the middle of the night.
Well, they've since just be like, well, we're gonna go fishing now. Had some blood. Time to get some cod. I don't know what kind of fish are up in that area, and not that I really care, but it's basically they spray painted Vampire Hotel across the front of the building. And despite rumors and people spouting inaccurate information, nothing substantial has ever occurred to the site. Some of the rumors included animal sacrifices or blood drinking rituals, but no evidence of this was found. No vampires, no murders, or anything of nature happened to stop it. It was just basically a clubhouse for fucking teenagers to kick it in.
Question. Yeah. Aren't vampire nests supposed to be like low key, on the down low?
Yeah, you're not gonna write Vampire Hotel on it. Yeah, yeah. Say, that's the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, in the Lost Boys, they fucking went below a fucking cliff in a cave where nobody could find their asses.
Yeah,
they didn't just have a sign saying "Vampire Den below." Here we are. Come get us.
Please don't kill me in my sleep.
Yeah, the only reason why the Frog Brothers knew where the fuck it was because of Michael being turned into a vampire and going down there.
I like how you remember all their names.
I know, I've watched that movie too many times. Now, they've torn it down since, and all that remains is just basically the semicircle wall that acted as the foundation for the patio. That's all that's there. But what made Rod Farrell infamous and what highlighted it was he the murder. He drove to Florida to murder people.
Wow.
Yeah. And on, I'll get into the story of how he ended up in Florida, but on November 25th, 1996, Naomi Ruth Queen and Richard Windorf were found by their daughter, Jennifer Windorf, beaten to death in their home. And while the 49-year-old Richard Windorf was asleep on the couch, Ruth was in the shower. Farrell and accomplice Howard Scott Anderson had entered the home through the unlocked garage, picking up the murder weapon, a crowbar. And before Richard had even awakened, Farrell beat him multiple times, fracturing both his skull and ribs and instantly knocking him out and killing him shortly after. When Ruth had found Farrell and Anderson in the home moments later, Farrell bludgeoned her to death, bashing her head with a crowbar. He claimed in his confession, however, that his original plan, he was going to allow Naomi Ruth to live, but she first attacked him by lunging at him and throwing a very hot cup to allow a hot cup of coffee on him, which angered him. So he's already prone to anger, as we talked about earlier. And so this woman's drinking her fucking coffee, sees her husband's fucking body, and sees them. That would be my first inclination, too. I have this hot fucking beverage. I'm aiming for your face.
Yep.
Mm. Yep.
But he apparently planned on her to live, but it just kind of went sideways. Richard was found bearing burn marks in the shape of a V. It was said that the V was Farrell's symbol, which he accompanied with a dot for each person he considered to be in his vampire cult.
How many dots did he have?
Didn't really say. I believe at least like four. Because that seems to be the amount of people that he had going around with him. But the reason why he murdered these people were they were the parents of Heather Windorf, a longtime friend of Rod's, whom he was helping run away from home that she described as hell. Heather and the other girls that were with Farrell and Anderson were not at the Windorf home when the murders took place. So from what I'm understanding, teenage girl says, my parents suck. And I don't know the full story. They could very well have been abusive and that. Not a lot of detail goes into it.
Yeah.
That could be the case. And then she calls, you know, being a fucking teenage girl. She calls,
how did they meet?
She used to live in the same town. She used to live in Murray, Kentucky with Rod Farrell. Okay. And they moved to Florida. But Charity Kesey and her friend Dana Cooper had driven Heather to her boyfriend's apartment so Heather could say goodbye before leaving to New Orleans, leaving Roderick and Scott outside the Windorf home. After 4 days of driving through four states, the group was found in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It is believed that Farrell liked a video arcade and in New Orleans, and they were heading there. One of the girls, Charity, placed a call to her grandmother in South Dakota. The group needed money, and Charity thought her grandmother could help them. However, the grandmother informed the police about the whereabouts and helped police trick Farrell, Windorf, and the rest of the teens into going into Howard Johnson's hotel, where they were arrested by waiting law enforcement agents. And they were held at the Baton Rouge jail for a week before being extradited back to Florida, where they were initially booked in Lake County Jail. They were later moved to a juvenile facility outside the city.
Did his helpers actively involved?
No, just the one, okay. I believe. Just the Scott Anderson kid. On 1998, the 17-year-old Farrell pleaded guilty to the murders, claiming that the others traveling with him were innocent except for Scott Anderson, who was simply an accessory. Farrell pleaded guilty to 2 counts of felony murder, and Farrell's attorneys tried to argue that he was insane and he had been diagnosed with mental disorders, including schizoid type personality and Asperger syndrome. The University of Florida attested that Rod could sometimes witness spiritual things like angels and demons. And Judge Jerry T. Lockett sentenced Farrell to death. And Charity Kesey was convicted of 2 degrees of third degree murder. And robbery or deadly weapon and burglary, armed weapons or explosives. She was sentenced to 10.5 years. And Dana Cooper's charges was given 17.5 years, and Anderson was convicted of the same charges as Farrell. So they all got some time, even though Farrell was just like, no, it's...
But Farrell is death row, right?
Yeah, he's on death row.
He's dead. Gotcha. Still alive?
He's still alive.
I'm gonna look into him more. It sounds like interesting. I wonder, has there been any like documentaries or anything?
Yeah, I've seen a couple.
There's so many now.
I've seen a couple about him. That's what actually spurred this episode. I'll see if I can find the link for cool. Because I was watching one. And I was just like, oh shit, vampires. So I was just like, let's talk about it.
That's crazy. I mean, yeah, it sounds like he was just probably had a really terrible upbringing too.
Yeah.
I mean, and just was trying, like you said, trying to cope, find drugs or whatever the hell. And then he ended up just, whether his mother encouraged that delusion, it sounds like. But I mean, when you have two people in the home that maybe are both severely, you know, like maybe suffering from psychosis and things, then they could feed off of each other too, right?
Oh yeah, the shared psychosis too. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we talked about that in an earlier episode. Exactly.
This is possibly a good example of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Given her the mother's behavior, this might be the folie à deux or whatever.
Yeah, the folie à deux.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think, like, I by no means am I condoning what he did.
But you can at least understand that there might have been factors that...
been factors that set him off.
Beyond hanging out in a vampire
club. Yeah, besides reading vampire books and going by cheap tomato sauce names. I think that there was definitely some trauma there.
LARPing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think... that he's a little bit more sympathetic than some of the other people we've talked about.
Yeah. There always are those ones who I don't feel like are complete and utter emotionless killing machines, you know?
Yeah.
But then you get those that are.
Yeah.
And you're like, is there anything even in there? You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Like... with that one, what's his name? That we talked about is really, really like that.
You've been kind of like, lagging out.
Oh, was it Kemper? That was the one that was.
Yeah, it was
really,
Kemper.
Yeah. He's one of those that are just
Kemper.
Like,
they Kemper
creep me out even more.
Yeah, Kemper creeps me out because Kemper was fucking highly intelligent.
Yeah, and they just have no regret whatsoever.
Zero. Zero.
Zero. Yeah.
And David, you got any thoughts?
Man, I don't know. Fucking... I actually had a roommate who played Vampire the Masquerade, like actual LARPing. They would go, you know, to their D&D session. And he would dress up for it in like a suit and tie and everything.
Nice.
That was as weird as I ever got.
Yeah.
My experience with vampires.
Yeah.
Apparently he died. There was like this big finale they were doing one night. And he died by getting bit by a poisonous snake that like popped out of a wall or something.
Oh shit.
There's like
vampires can die that way?
They can die by
poisonous snakes.
They die. Well, he failed like all of his saving rolls or some shit, so you know.
So like you're going to die. You're not going to go out in a blaze of glory by a fucking steak or sunlight or holy water. You're going to get bit by a vampire. Get fucked.
The most dangerous monster in all of D&D is poisonous snakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's the thing. I would play D&D as well, right? Like I love that. Yeah. And that's LARPing. So it's just, you don't really see too many people going that overboard though with that comparatively, you know, but
not at all.
What would a serial killer based on D&D be like? He's just like walking around town in armor and a sword and just like cutting people down. I don't know.
Yeah.
How does that work? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. And it'd be kind of the problem with being a serial killer in D&D would be hard to get away with it. Cause you are playing with other people. So,
you could dress up like a wizard and have flamethrowers coming out of your arms, you know, and just be like, fireball!
Just accidentally kill people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're... There you go.
Yeah.
Just accident. But you would have to have the DM.
Be really careless with your AoE spells.
Yeah.
kill everyone all the time.
Yeah. Just be like, I tried to save you. My bad.
You're like fireball, but it's fireball. A Molotov cocktail.
It's a just fucking blowing up Molotov. Everything.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll call that one a wrap. All the show notes will be on our website when it is posted. But we are the High Kind. If you like what you hear, subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, and follow us on TikTok, High Kind Pod. And have a great night.